There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
In an office,
you're looking at a tableau of reality. Things of substance, of physical material, a desk, a window, a light. These things exist and have dimension.
A man enters the outer office.
Now this is Arthur Curtis, age 36, who also is real. He has flesh and blood, muscle and mind. But in just a moment, we will see how thin a line separates that which we assume to be real with that manufactured inside of a mind.
A woman enters.
Good morning, Mr. Curtis.
Oh, good morning, Sally. Oh, I thought I'd better get an early start. I got to leave about 3. My wife and I haven't gotten a thing for Tina's birthday party yet.
Oh, that's right. It's Saturday afternoon, isn't it?
If my dear daughter can hold out that long.
Why, is she excited?
That's all she can talk about.
Well, that's about normal.
Are the Matson contracts ready yet?
Oh, sure. I finished them last night before I left.
Good.
Here they are.
Thanks. Well, to the grindstone. Oh, I almost forgot. Could you call and see if you can change the plane reservations to Saturday night?
Oh, of course. Starting at the bed, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the first real vacation Marion and I have had in years, so we figured why lose the whole weekend before starting out?
I don't blame you, Mr. Curtis.
So, Saturday night at San Francisco, here we come.
He goes into his office, closes the sliding doors. He opens the window blinds and sits at his desk.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Walks back toward the outer office.
Cut!
He looks around. From the back of his office, several people sit, watching him as lights turn on. Puzzled, he looks at the audience. And at the camera and lighting.
Jerry.
Says a man with an open collar, getting up.
Is it so hard to make a phone call? Hey.
Waving his hand back and forth in front of Arthur's face.
Remember me, Jerry? Marty Fisher. Your friendly neighborhood movie director.
Arthur goes back into the outer office, where the actress playing Sally is lying down by the window.
Sally, what?
What's the matter, Mr. Reagan? Where are you going?
I'm warning you, Jerry. They won't take it anymore. Wise up, boy. You're on the edge.
Jerry?
Oh, it's okay, Marty. It's okay. Just a little gag.
All right, we'll try it again, shall we, Jerry? We'll pick it up from the phone call. You're phoning your wife to tell her to meet you downtown at 3:15, right?
What are you talking about? Where am I?
He steps backward across the office.
What is this, some kind of a joke or something?
Looking outside through the window blinds, he sees a man in another room.
I don't know you. I don't know any of you.
Arthur returns to his office.
Don't let him get away.
Look, Marty, I swear to you, the agency had no idea the
Just
ring
keep
was
him
in...
here, Sam.
Sure. I'll phone Brinkley.
Arthur tries the phone again.
Is there a telephone in here?
Why don't you sit down, Jerry?
I asked you if there's a phone in...
Jerry, if I have to call Brinkley on this, you're dead. Jerry, why don't you listen to me for 1 minute, will you? I don't know what's the matter with you.
Another man walks up to the director.
Call an ambulance. Make it fast.
Shall I use a stage phone?
No, of course not. If he finds out, there's no telling what he'll do. Go on. Jerry, let's go to your dressing room.
Where's the nearest phone?
Jerry.
My name is Arthur Curtis.
Arthur walks out past the audience.
Lunch, 1 hour.
In a back room, Arthur finds a phone.
May I have information, please? Would you give me the telephone number of Arthur Curtis, 22437 Ventnor Road in Woodland Hills, please? Ventnor. V-E-N-T-N-E-R. What? Oh, no, you're mistaken. Of course there's a phone there. No, listen, it's my own home. I'm Arthur Curtis. I can't seem to remember it at the moment, will you? No, it's not an unlisted number. I don't think. Now, will you please try again, operator? I know there's a phone there.
Jerry.
The director approaches him.
You're wrong, operator. Please connect me with your supervisor. What are you doing?
Jerry, I want to talk to you in your dressing room. You're not well.
I'm getting out of here. I'm going home.
Jerry!
Arthur heads for the exit. As he walks outside, Arthur is struck by a passing convertible. The driver gets out of the car and walks around to him.
Are you out of your mind? Jerry, if you're drunk again,
so... Take your hands off me.
Look, I don't care if they bounce you. I don't care if you never work again the rest of your miserable life, but you're going to pay me what the judge tells you to pay me, or so help me, I'll put you so far behind bars they'll never find you again.
Mrs. Reagan.
Not Mrs. Reagan anymore.
I'm sorry. Can I talk to you in private?
I haven't the time. He's coming with me. He'll be back for the afternoon shooting.
That's not exactly what I had in mind. I've called an ambulance. Jerry's having a nervous breakdown.
Ambulance?
Arthur takes the driver's seat.
I'm not joking, Mrs. Reagan.
She gets in the car. He drives through the back lot of the movie studio.
I'll drive, Jerry. I said I'll drive. You think you're going to kill us? Jerry, I'm going to bleed you. I'm going to bleed you dry.
Now listen to me, whoever you are. I don't know who you think I am, but you're wrong. You're wrong. My name is Curtis. Arthur Curtis, and I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about. Now, I'm going to drive to my home in Woodland Hills, and when we get there, you can have your car back. Do you understand?
If you think you can chisel your way out of paying me with a cheap trip...
My name is Arthur Curtis. My wife's name is Marion. I have a little daughter named Tina. We live at 22437 Ventnor Road in Woodland Hills.
I'm warning you, Jerry!
My name is Arthur Curtis!
Back on the set.
No, he isn't drunk, Mr. Brinkley. I could tell you he's cracked. His mind is gone. He swears he's Arthur Curtis. Swears it. That's right. Arthur Curtis. The character he's playing in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur drives slowly through a residential neighborhood.
You'll let me know when the grand tour is over, won't you?
I can't understand it. I don't know where I am, and yet I must. I live here.
What do you want, Jerry? An Academy Award?
I told you, my name is...
Cut it out. You never had a less receptive audience.
You don't understand.
You go ahead. Play it out. Do what you please. I couldn't care less.
He gets out of the car.
That's right. You ask where Ventnor Road is.
He walks up to a house, then stops and turns his head.
Tina.
He walks back to the sidewalk. Kneels behind a small girl and grabs at her arm.
Tina!
She runs away. Mrs. Reagan takes the driver's seat. He stands up. Mrs. Reagan drives up to him.
Get in. Would you rather go to jail for attempted assault? Get in!
He looks around again, then walks around the car and gets in. The car arrives at another house.
On what Brinkley wants. Your blood, probably. Well, he'll have to wait his turn. Well, come on, I said I'd have you back for this afternoon shooting. Get out, Jerry.
Where are we?
Come on. Come on.
I've got to get home.
You are home. Now let's go.
She leads him into the house. Inside, a white-haired, middle-aged man walks up to him.
Jerry, where have you been? Sam phoned me over an hour ago, said you left the studio.
Come on.
Can't this wait, Nora?
No, it can't. It's waited long enough. I want my money before he goes off on his next binge. And I'm going to get it. Now.
Now, look. I tried to explain to that woman that I'm not who you all seem to think I am. My name is Curtis. I live in...
Jerry, stop it. You don't seem to realize the position you're in.
She rifles through papers on a desk.
Where do you hide the checkbook?
He turns his head.
I'll find it if I have to tear this house apart.
Jerry, I'll have to lay it right on the line. If you lose this assignment, we'll have to drop you. We can't cover up for you anymore. It's beyond that, way beyond.
I'm sorry, but you're mistaken.
All right. They can shoot around you today. I'll tell them you're sick. They won't buy it, but I'll make it stick somehow. But you've got to be there tomorrow, Jerry. Bright and early. You've got to convince...
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on.
Jerry.
All right, get over here.
Nora, don't.
Look, you stay out of this.
Nora, please, can't you see that he's upset?
Leave me alone.
You're going to sign this check, Jerry. You're going to sign it right now. Gerald Reagan. G-E-R-A-L-D.
That's not my name.
R-A-I-G-A-N.
That's not my name. Now listen, this has gone far enough. I'm not Gerald Reagan. I don't know any of you. My name is Arthur Curtis. Do you hear me? Arthur Curtis, and I work for... I'd like to have the telephone number of the Davis Morton Company. 189 Brand Street, Los Angeles. Of course there is! I worked there! I've worked there for the last 7 years! Hello! Hello!
He looks up at Mrs. Reagan, then at the white-haired man. Drops the phone. Puts his head down. Later. Lying on a couch, Arthur opens his eyes. The white-haired man gets up and approaches him.
Feeling better?
You don't believe me, do you?
I believe you've been overworked, under a terrible strain. You need help, Jerry.
Help?
It's not in my province, but I've known you a long time. Can't you see what's happened?
Arthur shakes his head. The white-haired man turns and walks across the room. He picks up a stack of papers and walks back toward Arthur. Shows the papers to Arthur. The words on the front cover, shooting script. The man flips the cover over and reads from the first page.
Cast of characters. Arthur Curtis, 36, a young business executive, happily married. Curtis lives in Woodland Hills with his wife and child.
Arthur shakes his head.
Marion Curtis, 33. A charming young woman, typical of that efficient breed which can manage a house and family and still have ample...
Stop it!
He jumps up and walks across the room.
The only information you have about Arthur Curtis is written in this script.
No.
Jerry, sometimes I'd like to escape myself. Away from this turmoil. To some simpler existence.
You're telling me that this is a delusion. That I'm really Gerald Reagan, a drunken...
Gerald Reagan, a sweet, unhappy man. Burdened with that harpy. Jerry Reagan. Trying to find a little happiness, that's all.
No. It's real. It's real.
I wish it were. For your sake, I wish it were. I've got to go, Jerry. Try and get some rest. Forget about the picture. You don't have to finish it. I just spoke to the studio a few minutes ago. They're canceling production. Arthur Curtis is dead.
He drops the script in a trash can.
I've got to get back.
It's too late, Jerry. It's finished.
I've got to get back to my office.
Your office? If you mean the set, they're probably tearing it down right now.
They can't. They can't!
He rushes down the stairs. Out the door. And into the car. The man runs after him. Arthur drives off. The man walks back in the house. Arthur drives faster, passing other cars. On the right. On the left. On the right. On the left. On the right. On the left. Back at the movie studio, he walks in the building. Finds his way toward the set. Sees the workmen carrying away pieces of the set.
Wait!
Mr. Reagan!
You can't do this!
We're just following orders, Mr. Reagan.
He walks into his office. Sits at his desk. Lowers his head onto his hand.
Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here.
He looks around. Now he sees the photos of his wife and daughter on his desk. Gets up and goes to the window.
Honey?
He looks at his wife.
Marion.
At last, he smiles, and he rushes towards her and into an embrace.
Marion.
Well, my goodness, I've been phoning you all day long. Where have you been?
Been?
Well, Sally kept saying you were out. She said she didn't actually see you go
out.
Let's
get out
of here. Artie, are you all right?
Well, sure.
Well, where were you?
Mr. Curtis? Are you leaving now?
Yes.
Well, I have your tickets for Saturday night. Here you are.
Fine, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get those lamps and tables out of here.
He pulls her toward the door.
Honey, what's the matter?
Please. Honey, let's not wait. Let's go on our vacation right away.
Hey, what's wrong?
Nothing, darling. I just don't want to lose you.
The workmen continue to dismantle the set. The white-haired man arrives.
Has Reagan been here?
Yeah, he was here a minute ago.
You didn't see him leave?
No, I didn't. Hey, any of you guys see Reagan leave?
No, we didn't.
Would you take a look in his dressing room?
Yeah, sure.
The white-haired man looks around the set.
He's not in his dressing room.
Wonder where he is.
Now on the desk, the script titled The Private World of Arthur Curtis.
The modus operandi for the departure from life is usually a pine box of such and such dimensions. And this is the ultimate in reality. But there are other ways for a man to exit from life. Take the case of Arthur Curtis, age 36. His departure was along a highway with an exit sign that reads, "This way to escape. Arthur Curtis, en route to the Twilight Zone."
Credits. Directed by Ted Post. Written by Richard Matheson. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Howard Duff. With David White, Frank Maxwell, Eileen Ryan, Gail Kobe, Peter Walker, Susan Dorn, William Idelson. Music by Van Cleve. Conducted by Lud Bluskin. Director of Photography, Agnes Smith. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Joseph Gluck. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Titles and Opticals, Pacific titled. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.